In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. For those of you who read the church bulletin, you may have figured out by now that I am not missionary Pamela Anastasia Barksdale. True. Pam was sick this morning and could not make it. So before the procession, I wanted to share a few words with you about our church and about the upcoming week. This is arguably the best attended Sunday of the year, and this, along with the Sunday before Christmas, are really the two big Sundays in every church's calendar with regard to attendance. We are required to have a minimum of two parish assemblies every year, one in the springtime, which we'll have in several weeks from now, and then one in the fall. But really, for all practical purposes, this is our spring parish assembly, because whether a person comes to church every week or every other week or just a few times a year or just once a year, this seems to be the Sunday where we all gather. And that's a beautiful thing, to have us all together in one place worshiping. Because as I look around and as I gave out communion this morning, there were really only a few faces that I'd never seen before. Everybody here is known to one another. We just happen to be gathered all in the same place at the same time. And thank God for that. Now, if we were going to do a regular parish assembly, we would go over the financial state of the parish and blah, blah, blah. If you read the familion, I hope you get all that and you don't need any interpolation. The financial state of the parish is stewardship giving is up 10% from last year. Our net income is up 150% from last year. We continue to have one adult chrismation or baptism per month. And we are on the verge, we hope, of putting in a new elevator. So there's your parish assembly. Now you have to come to the one that's later on in the spring, but essentially that's your parish assembly news. Well, here's the news that I think is really important. One is this. If you consider the nature of Holy Trinity, we are really a 300 family parish. There are families on the periphery that we have a chaplaincy type of a ministry to. So if somebody passes away or is gravely ill, we go visit them and we take care of them. But essentially, the core of the parish is 300, maybe 325 families. So if you look around at the pews, look around and see the faces, this is us. This is our parish. It's really not much bigger than this. And that's who we are. But you know, for a parish our size, we get a lot done, and we get a lot done because it seems like every age group carries their own load in the parish. Most of our senior citizens, I would say virtually all of them, have not retired yet. They continue to work in the kitchen and volunteer in all kinds of ways, folding the bulletin. They're faithful worshipers. They are generous givers to the church. Our middle adults have stepped up to the plate, as well they should. Middle adults should be the backbone of every church, because middle adults have the accrued wisdom, they have the energy. Typically they're ushering or have ushered their children out of the house, and so we're grateful for our middle adults. Yeah, unlike some other parishes, we even have parents with children and even very young children who are integral to the life of our church, which is a magnificent thing, because you know, one of the beautiful things about having children is when they're little, we can use them as an excuse for lots of things. If you're at a party you don't like, you can say, I've got to get home, the kids are tired. But you know, it's really wonderful to be in a parish where people with small children are actually doing a lot of work around the church. And we also have in our church a place where there are many, many young adults who are not just here, but involved in operating, leading the ministry, serving in the church, and that's a very special thing. So for us at Holy Trinity, we don't ever have to say, why don't the young people do anything? Because the young people are doing things. They're teaching Sunday school, they're serving on the parish council, they're et cetera. You get the idea. Now, for those who have not been keeping up with parish news, we did have a sad event, and that was the loss of Jacob Saylor. He started in Scottsdale January 1st. And it's forced us to regroup a bit, but in the process, we have identified a young woman who has been coordinating our youth work for us, and that's Lucy Duran. And so she's been doing a great job, but she has been doing a great job not on her own, but with lots of other young adults who are part of that group of people that lead our ministries, and that has been a good thing. In fact, if we consider all of our ministries at the church, without exception, at this point they are very vibrant and really exciting. I hate to have to tell you all that right before summer starts, because summer is a time for us to regroup a bit and send kids off to camp. But when September rolls around, you'll be very delighted at the offerings that we have for people of all ages. Now, we had some sad news recently, but we also had some very happy news, which was December 27th, we ordained a deacon. And Father Deacon Vasilios, it's like he's been a deacon for 10 years. He does everything perfectly. And that's why the Metropolitan likes to come over here so much, because it's such a delight to be serving liturgy with a deacon who knows what he's doing. You know, some people say, well, I'm really glad we have him because it makes communion go twice as fast. That's kind of a self-serving reason to have a deacon. I'm really glad we have him because he's taken on the responsibility of doing our shut-in visits. And that takes a big load off of me, and it means our shut-ins get a lot more attention. And I know we have lay people that visit our shut-ins, but this gives our shut-ins the chance to receive communion as well. And also, when we celebrate liturgy with a deacon, we really see liturgy how it was intended to be, how it was written to be. And it's freed me up to do what I have done a lot of historically here, but do even more of. I spend a good bit of my time meeting with people in my office. And granted, not everybody who comes to church here wants to meet with me or wants to come to me for confession, and that's totally normal. But that invitation is there for you to come see me, because that's how I spend a good bit of my day. Now, if we were to gather the whole parish together as we are today, it might be a good opportunity to try to guilt you into behaving a certain way, but we know that guilt is not a good motivator, so I'm not going to do that. And actually, you've heard me say in sermons before, this is not my original idea, other people have pointed it out, that the word guilt does not appear very frequently in the New Testament because Jesus came to deal with guilt. So I'm not going to say anything like, think about all the oppressed Christians in the world. Why aren't you in church on Sunday morning? Or think about the poor countries where they take some 20 years to build a church. We have a beautiful church. Why aren't you here every Sunday morning? I'm not going to say that. That's pointless. And it's not going to get anywhere. Instead, I want to invite people and say, we need you. This church is doing a lot, and we would love to have you as part of it. And those of you who are part of it, thank God. And those of you who have been waiting for invitation, this is your invitation today. And I really wanted to close out the sermon and over the next couple of minutes with a challenge. And the challenge is this. Consider the first Palm Sunday in Holy Week. There were what? There were people lining the roads waiting to see Jesus because the day before he had raised Lazarus from the dead. And by the time the day of the crucifixion came, they'd all vanished except for a few women and John, the beloved disciple, who stood at the foot of the cross. And so this is my challenge this week, is that when we gather here Holy Thursday evening for the reading of the 12 Gospels that describe the crucifixion, that each one of us says, this is the year I'm going to come to Holy Thursday. I will tell you, it is arguably the longest service of the year. But how is it possible otherwise to really appreciate what it is like to stand at the foot of the cross and watch our Lord crucified? How is it possible to really begin to embrace his sacrifice if we ourselves don't sacrifice a bit? The content of the service is truly life-changing. Just hearing the account of the crucifixion expressed in 12 different Gospels. But then the words of the hymnology are magnificent, and the music is beautiful. And here at Holy Trinity, I could say that we do Holy Thursday right. It's done reverently, it's not dragged out, it's not rushed. And the experience most people have on Holy Thursday evening is they can't believe that the time went by that quickly. If any of us are saying, I would like to be transformed this Holy Week, then come to Holy Thursday. And please come on time. Don't say, well, I know that first gospel is super long. I want to get to the end of it. That's kind of defeating the whole purpose. But please come and be part of that. You say, well, what's the payoff? I don't know if there's a payoff or not, but I can tell you that the women who stood at the foot of the at the cross, they were the first ones to discover the empty tomb. And I can also tell you that John, the beloved disciple, lived to be a very old age, and he is the author not only of his gospel and of his epistles, but he is the author of the revelation to John. He was allowed to see what the second coming and the next world would be like. So we will have our official parish assembly later this spring, and in the meantime, I would simply say it is good for us to be together, and I rejoice. I rejoice this is such a beautiful day for us in the life of the church and in the life of Holy Trinity. All of us are going to see each other off and on throughout the coming week. At one of the bridegroom services, maybe all of them, at the unction service, Good Friday, Holy Saturday morning, the resurrection service, on and on. We'll see each other, and it's going to be great. But I would propose that as we consider all of the things we're going to do this coming week, I would propose that we schedule yet one more parish assembly at Holy Trinity, and that's Holy Thursday evening to hear the Gospels of our Lord's Passion read. Dear brothers and sisters, let's meet at the cross Thursday night.